Church. Hope everyone is doing well. It's good to see each and every one of you guys. I'm so thankful to, first of all, have had a week off last week. I know Daniel mentioned it, but I have, he hadn't preached since November. So that means that I had not preached since November. So I very much welcomed a break. I appreciate it. He did such an amazing job. And Daniel's becoming such a great speaker and preacher. He's coming into his own. He's figuring out who he is as a pastor, and I love it. And God's gonna is using him, is gonna continue to use him, and it's really awesome to watch. So man, we are blessed to have him and his family here. But with that said, I am very, very thankful to be back. I'm excited to see each one of you. I'm refreshed and ready to go. So this week we are kicking off a new message series, one that I'm really excited about. That's kind of been on my preaching calendar for a long time, and it's a message series called All the Lies. And over the next 4 weeks, what we're going to be doing is we're going to be looking at some of the most common and most destructive lies that we tend to find ourselves believing, even when we know that they're not true, right? In our head, we might be able to say, yeah, that's a lie, that's not true. But in reality, it's affecting our lives. We're kind of believing it in our core as opposed to just pushing them away. And they have very destructive and catastrophic effects. And in this series, what we're going to do is we're going to name these lies. Like, right, we're going to call them out. And then what we're going to do is we're going to put that lie to test. Right, we're going to put it up against truth. And how we do that is we put it up against God's word. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to name the lies, and then we're going to put it up against God's word and see what God has to say about it. And I'm telling you, this is so important. Like, I don't care how long you've been in the church or how short of a time you've been in the church. We have all believed lies, and it has affected our life. And we need to understand that, and we need to identify it. You see, because this is important because we have a spiritual enemy, right? Lucifer, Satan, the devil, whatever you want to call him. He is our spiritual adversary. And he wants nothing more than to take you out. He wants to destroy you at all costs. And if he can't destroy you, if he can't have your soul because you're connected with God, he's going to do the next best thing, which is to get you off mission, to make you ineffective with the gospel message, to where you're just stuck, where you're not happy. And what he ends up doing is in that process, we begin to get off course and we forget what God really has in store for our lives. We lose sight of the truth of all the things that God wants to do in and through us. We forget about the things that God truly wants us to experience, the beautiful and the amazing things. We lose sight of our calling, which is to live the gospel message out every single day. To love as Jesus loved. We forget that. And one of the ways, the primary ways that he does this is through feeding us lie after lie after lie. All the lies, right? That's what he does. That's what he's about. In fact, Jesus, he let us know this loud and clear in John chapter 8, and halfway through verse 44, he says this. He says, he, meaning the devil, he was a murderer from the beginning. He has always hated the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, it is consistent with his character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. It's what he's about. It's who he is. It's in his very character. Right? We just finished up a series. You know, God is, right? One of the things we talked about is God is love. That's who he is. It's what he's about. It's his very nature. And our enemy is the opposite. He is full of lies and deceit because that's his character. It says he's the father of all lies. Whether it be lies that other people tell us, whether it be lies that we believe from maybe past experiences that we struggle to get rid of, Or maybe it's lies that are birthed and cycled through our thought process. Regardless of how he does it, he feeds us these lies. And it's destructive. It's destructive to us. It's destructive to the people around us. And it's destructive to the church. Not just LifePoint Church, but the global church. He's all about the lies. In fact, when we look back in Scripture, sin actually entered the world from a lie. It came on the scene because of one of the enemy's lies. In Genesis chapter 3, we're going to read verses 1 through 5, we find this interaction between Satan in the form of a serpent and Eve. Check us out. It says, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast in the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, 'Did God actually say you shall not eat of any tree in the garden?' And the woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat of the fruit of these trees in the garden, but God said you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden. Neither shall you touch it, lest you die.' But check this out. The serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die.'" Boom, a lie. "You will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." He fed her a lie. And we know how the story ends. The rest is history, right? Adam and Eve both eat of the fruit. And then sin and death come on scene. Not just for them, but for everyone. And this all started with a lie from the enemy. He's all about feeding us lies. All the lies. And if we are not paying attention, right, if we are not on our toes, we are really in trouble. Like, we're subject to fall victim, just like Adam and Eve, to these lies. Check it out. This is why Peter wrote this in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. I love this verse. He says, "Stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour." And I love that verse because it's so clear. It's such a great visual image of how our enemy works. See, I don't know if you know very much about how lions hunt and stalk their prey, but if they're out there hunting alone, like by themselves, man, they will just sit back and watch. They'll watch a herd of whatever come in, and they're just going to watch. Sometimes, you know, 15, 20 minutes, sometimes even hours. And they're looking to pick out which one is the weakest. Which one is going to be the least likely to fight back or escape. And they're paying attention. They're watching. And when the time's right, we've probably all seen those videos. Boom. Carnage. They attack with the quickness. And our enemy is the same way. That's why Peter says this. He's prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. He's watching us. He's waiting to pick us off. He's waiting to see when we're weak. And he finds that moment when we're at our weakest, and that's when he attacks. So we have to be on our toes. We've got to constantly be watching, looking, and seeing, you know, what is the enemy doing? And we've got to be prepared for that. But again, he's going to hit us with lies because he is the father of lies. And so in this series, we're going to name these lies and then we're going to put them to test. Because the greatest way to get rid of a lie, to snuff that out and push it aside, is to replace it with truth. And so that's what we have to do. But first, we have to understand what lies he's attacking us with. Because you see, until we're able to see that and able to kind of sidestep the enemy when he hits us with those lies, we're locked up. We're locked up believing lies, but we can be truly set free. But it's only the truth that does that. So for this week, I spent some time praying about which lie I wanted to kick this thing off with. Like, what is the one of the foundational lies that the enemy hits us with? And God continued to put this very common lie just in front and center of my mind. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. And I feel one of the central lies that he uses to really take us out and to get us weak. It's the lie that you're all alone. The lie that you are all alone. You know that lie, right? Man, nobody cares about you. Nobody really loves you. You don't have any friends. Even if you do, they're not going to be there for you when you need them. They don't understand what you're going through. Like they say they've had struggles, but their struggles aren't as bad as yours. Oh, you know that sin that you've got in your life? You realize no one else has that sin. That's just you. That's the lies that the enemy feeds us, that we're all alone. And whatever it is, that you're all alone. Let's be honest. How many of you this morning would say that at some point in your time in your life, or even maybe right now, you struggle with feelings of being alone? All right. Raise them up if that's you. Raise them, hold them up. If you're watching online, go ahead and like drop an emoji hand or something. Right. It's a very common lie that we tend to believe, and it can destroy us. It can be all consuming. I mean, it's an awful feeling, right? Like it's one of the things that a lot of people fear. Like they fear the most, or terrified of being alone. Yet all of us are faced with it. Even if you have tons of people in your circle, we still get hit from time to time with different aspects, approaches of feeling all alone. The enemy's good. He's crafty. He knows how to do it. He knows how to manipulate you, and he'll get you to believe that you are truly all alone. It's one of his go-tos, because this is why I think this is so foundational, and one of the lies that he uses the most is because he knows that if he can get you to feel all alone, what typically happens, right? When we feel alone, we start to put walls up. And then we begin to isolate. Because we feel alone. So we begin to isolate and push people away. So then we begin to separate ourselves from other people. We separate ourselves from the church or other people that really care about us. We isolate. And when we isolate, we're vulnerable. 10 times more vulnerable we are alone than we are with other people. So if he can get us isolated, he can hit us with all kinds of other lies and all kinds of other attacks and begin to just to wear us out. That's why this is one of his go-to lies, and he loves it. Because when we're isolated, we're vulnerable. And it's because of the fact that we were not created to be alone. None of us, even those that are more introverted, there's nothing wrong with that, but you were not created to be alone. God created us to be in community, connected with each other, and connected with him. That's how we were created. Not created to be alone. I love how King Solomon says this in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, starting in verse 9. He kind of breaks this truth down like this. He says, two people are better off than one. I mean, it's pretty clear cut. Two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm. But how can one be warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. This is how we were created. We were created for community. We were created to not be alone, because there is power in numbers. There's power in us being together. We are stronger when we have more people with us. And that's why the enemy uses this lie to get us to think that we're all alone so that we isolate and then he can take us out. You were not created to be alone. And what's interesting is that, again, as I said earlier, he doesn't just say, hey, you're alone. You're all alone. You're going to be all alone. He attacks us in those little weak areas of our lives. And he uses this specifically to hit us in certain spots. And I think there's a plethora of ways and angles that he comes at us with this lie. But I think there's three main areas of our lives that we fall victim to believing that we're all alone. Sometimes it's just one of them, and that's the one that really hurts and sticks with us. Sometimes it's a combination of all three. But he comes at us in a variety of different ways. And one of the lies that he uses to get us to believe and to get us off course is he gets us to believe that we're relationally all alone, right? Relationally all alone. Maybe for you, he hits you with the, you know what, like, hey, like, do you really have friends? No one invited you out this weekend. No one invited you to the game. No one invited you to come over to their house. You don't have anybody. Oh, you're 30 and you're 40s and you're still single? You're just going to be all alone. It's the way it's going to be. Or hey, you're married? You were, but guess what? They bailed on you. They left you because you weren't worth being with. You're better alone. You deserve to be alone. You've been alone your whole life. Think about it. Your parents bailed on you. They left you alone. And the enemy hits us with these type of lies that relationally we're all alone. And it can be so painful, so hurtful. But that's one of the lies that he hits us with. Another one of the lies that he specifically hits us with is that you're emotionally all alone. Sure, maybe you have tons of people in your circle that you're connected with that you would call friends. You have a lot of followers on social media. But what the enemy will do then is then he'll sneak in and say things like, yeah, you got a lot of people in your network. But you know none of them really care about you. None of them really care about you. When you really need them the most, they're not going to be there. They're going to turn their back on you. Your spouse really doesn't love you. They're just going through the motions. They're not there for you. Your coworkers don't like you at all. They just tolerate you because they have to. They don't understand what you're going through. They'll never understand what you're going through. Oh, everyone in the church, they say they're going to pray for you. But they don't get it, and they don't really care. They're just saying it to make themselves feel good. You're emotionally all alone. Again, incredibly destructive, hurtful. Makes you feel truly alone when you get in that headspace, when he starts dropping those lies in your mind about the people around you. The other final of the three lies that he hits us with, and it's one for me that I have struggled with so many times throughout my life. I know it all too well, and it's when we get caught up in the lie that you're spiritually all alone. That you're spiritually all alone. Comes in and whispers things like, look at you. You're a mess. You are an absolute disaster. How could God really love you? How could God really want to be with you? You haven't prayed or talked with God in weeks. Why would he want to talk to you now? He's probably mad at you. He's not there for you. He's left you. You're all alone because you bailed on him, so he bailed on you. Oh, you call yourself a Christian? What about all those doubts that are circling in your head? You can't be a Christian with those doubts. You know no one else in your church has those doubts. Oh, those bad thoughts that you have, no one else has those. That's just you. You're just a bad person. You don't really know God. You think anyone else in your church has not read the Bible this week? I guarantee you they've all read a whole book. exegeted it and studied it and can write a sermon on it if they wanted to. But you, you didn't even read. You didn't even open it. You're all alone in this. Spiritually, you're all alone. And that's one that can really sideline you from being on mission. You start losing sight of who God sees you as, which is his masterpiece. And he loves you. He's crazy about you. But when the enemy drops that lie that you're spiritually all alone, you feel abandoned. And you isolate. And you're vulnerable. He's crafty, man. He knows what he's doing. And for you, maybe it's not one of those three. Maybe it's something totally different. But the enemy is dropping these lies to you. And it's tearing you apart. It's destructive. And he's going to continue to do it. Because that's who he is. That's his nature. The father of all lies. And he wants to make you feel all alone so that you isolate and you're vulnerable. Period. That's what he's about. And when we buy into this lie, it results in misery, hurt, feeling lost, increased depression, ramped up anxiety, an unhealthy view of God, and again, isolation. All that equals a recipe for disaster. Not joy, not peace, not comfort, all the things that God says that he will give you, that he does give us. We lose sight of those things because we're believing a lie. And then it becomes this vicious, vicious cycle. One, again, that I've been caught up in far too many times, and it is not fun. Not fun at all. But again, as I noted earlier, once we've identified these lies, once we know that one of the lies that he hits us with is that you're all alone, we can then put it to the test. We can put it up against Scripture and see what God has to say. And when we do that, we'll see how God's word absolutely demolishes and destroys these lies time and time again. So what is the truth? Right? If the enemy, if our spiritual enemy says that you are all alone, you're on your own, no one cares, what does God say? What does God's word say? What is the truth in this scenario? Well, the truth is this, that once connected to God, you're never alone. Again, something that we all, if you've been around church and have a relationship with God, you know that in your head. But far too many times we forget it. We don't believe it. We don't claim that truth in our life. The fact that once connected to God, you are never alone because he promises that he will never leave you and never forsake you. Don't take my word for it. Go look in Scripture. I'm telling you, you could spend days studying and looking at all the verses where that you find in the Bible, both the Old Testament and the New Testament, that tells us that God will never leave you, that he's got your back, that once you're connected to him, he's with you for all eternity. And that's in the here and now, that you are never alone, ever. Despite how you may feel, you are never alone because once you're connected to God, that's it. He's with you. No exceptions. You can never sin too much, do too much wrong. You can never not pray and then go back to him and he'd be like, no, I'm good. That's not how he works. Do we deserve that? Yeah, probably. But that's not how he works. That's how beautiful he is. That's how amazing he is. He loves you that much that no matter what you do, once you're connected, he's never going to leave you. He's there with you. He's your true ride or die. Like, he is always there forever. Again, it's all through Scripture. When you get home today, Google it. Verses on being alone. You're going to find a ton. Be because he wants us to understand that the enemy's lie is that we're alone. But that's just a lie. And we don't have to be victim to that. We don't have to believe that. But again, in processing this and actually believing it and putting it in action in our lives, that's a different story. It's challenging. It's difficult, especially when those lies of being alone are so deep-rooted in your heart and in your mind. It's hard to actually live out the fact that we're not alone. It's hard to push those feelings of being alone away. It's difficult. Like, I get it. But again, from what I've learned in my experience of navigating and working through this myself, is that when those lies creep up, right? When you start feeling like you're all alone and the enemy's telling you, no, you're alone here, you're alone here, no one cares, this and this and this and that. The best way to defeat that is to replace that lie with truth. You replace the lie with truth. And again, there's so many opportunities for that. So say when the enemy comes and hits you that you're relationally alone. Let me help you out. Let me give you a few verses, right? If he hits you with that you're relationally alone, hit him back with Psalms 27:10. It says, "For my father and my mother have forsaken me." Like, I don't know that it gets any more worse than that when being alone is that if your father and your mother turn their back on you. He says, "My father and mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in." What a beautiful promise. That no matter how alone you may feel, what the enemy may say, or maybe someone like completely bails on you, we don't have to be tripped up by that because he tells us in his word that he'll take us in. He'll be there for us. He's got our back. If you're being crushed with the lie that you're emotionally all alone, right? That no one cares. The people around you, they don't get it. They don't care to get it. Check out what Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 16 and 17. He says, "At my first defense, nobody came to stand by me." He said, "I was alone. But all deserted me." That will make you feel emotionally alone when you're standing there and you need somebody to have your back. You need someone to be there with you and everyone deserts you. He says, "At my first offense, no one came to stand by me, but all deserted me." Then when you read on, it says, "But the Lord stood by me and strengthened me so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth." He was rescued from the lies of the enemy. They had no power over him because even when people emotionally and physically abandoned him in his time of need and the enemy was telling him, "Dude, told you, no one cares. You're fighting a losing battle." No, the Lord stood by him and gave him strength because he's never going to leave you. Once you're connected to God through Jesus, you'll never be alone. And then when the enemy hits you with that lie that you're spiritually all alone, go back to one of the passages of scripture that we just read, 1 Peter chapter 5. We read verse 8, but we're going to read 8 and we're going to continue on verse 9. Check it out. It says, "Stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith." And then check this out. He says, "Remember that your family of believers all over the world is going through the same kind of suffering you are." You are not alone. Those doubts, those fears, those thoughts, those screw-ups, when you do fall victim to those, the attacks of the enemy, you're not alone. Your family of believers are all going through the same thing. Trust me, when the enemy tells you you're the only one that's going through this or struggling with this or falling victim to this and giving into this temptation, it's a lie. We are all in this thing together, and we all have struggles. You could probably think of your worst mess up, screw up, thought, whatever it might be, and I promise you, probably someone in this room has been through the same thing, has dealt with the same thing. the worst thing that's ever happened to you, you're not the only one that that's ever happened to. Because we're all in this thing together. Remember that your family of believers all over the world is going through the same kind of suffering you are. And this is important because we weren't created to be alone. We weren't. There is strength in numbers. We were created to be in community, connected as a group of people, and connected as the body of Christ, as the church. We are to truly connect and be a tight-knit, close community so that we can be stronger against the schemes and the lies of the devil. That's why here at LifePoint Church, we long to create an environment where you can come just as you are and be open, drop down the walls, be transparent, be open and honest, and do life together. Because we truly need each other. And you're never alone because we have your back. We're going through this together. But more importantly than that, when we talk about that we weren't created to be alone, we have to remember that we were created to be in relationship with God. We were created to be connected to the Father. And I don't care what the enemy tells you. I don't care what lie he comes at or how intense it may feel. The bottom line is that when you are connected to God through Jesus, you are never alone. So don't believe the lie. Don't take the bait. Believe what God says over what the enemy says. And he says that he will never leave you nor forsake you. He'll be with you now until forever. And with that in mind, we know that we will never truly be alone. Let's pray. God, we come to you this morning, Lord. We're just so thankful that you give us these beautiful, beautiful promises within Scripture, within your word, that you communicate and tell us these things, that you will never leave us, and that you love us, that even when we screw up, even when we mess up and fall flat on our faces, you're there to pick us back up. God, we're thankful that you give us community with other believers and with other people, that we can hold each other up when we need it. When someone falls, we're there to pick them up as well. When the enemy comes around like a lion trying to pick us off, one at a time, we can stand firm together and fight him off. God, we're so thankful for this beautiful community and connection that we have with your people and most importantly with you. God, I can't thank you enough for that. And Lord, I pray that you would give us strength to fight off the enemy when he attacks, to be wide awake, observant, and watch for his schemes and his lies, and fight them off with your truth. We thank you, Father. As we continue in a spirit of prayer, I just want to say this morning that if you're here at LifePoint Church, or if you're listening online, and you don't have a connected relationship with Jesus, understand that he loves you so much that he sent his son to die for you. And that through his death and his resurrection, defeating death, hell, and the grave, that you can be connected to him. You can have a relationship with him in such that he will never leave you. And Scripture says in Romans 10:9 that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God rose him from the grave, that you'll be saved. That he made a way for you to be connected to him through believing in his son Jesus, believing that he is God's son, perfect and holy, and died and rose again for you. Believing in that and confessing that you need him, that you're flawed, that you're not perfect, and you need him as your savior. And so if that's where you're at this morning, or whenever you're watching this, understand that you can change that. You can give your life to him. At any point in time, you just call on him, however he leads you. You just confess and you believe. And he says that he will hold you in his arms for all eternity, that he will never leave you or forsake you, that you're a new creation. The old has passed away, all things are new. That's our good God. So if that's you and you're ready to take that step, just from your seat, just call out to God. From home, just call out to God. Confess and believe. But maybe for you, it's more that you have that relationship with God, but you continue to believe and take the bait on these lies, especially the lies that you're all alone. It's destroying you. It's eating you up from the inside out. And just remember that God says that he will never leave you. Go back through these passages of scripture that we talked about. Search out God's word for a scripture, a truth. I promise it'll be there that will speak directly to that specific lie that he keeps hitting you with over and over and over again. That every time he does, it knocks your legs out from under you. I know you have one of those. I do. But we need to put it to the test. And we destroy that lie with truth. And you can do that. God, again, I thank you for loving us. Lord, we thank you for dying for us. And I pray that you would be with each person today that's here and that's watching online, God, that you would bless them, that you would give them peace and joy and comfort and hope. All the things that you promise us, God. May we reject the lies of the enemy. May we lock arms together and lock arms with you and battle his lies with truth. God, may we be all that you've created us to be. Experience all that you've created us to experience. And we can do that knowing that you will be with us. You promise that. You will be with us and you will never leave us. And we thank you for that, God. And it's your name we pray. Amen. All right, hey, LifePoint Church, thank you guys so much for once again being here with us for LifePoint Online. If you want more information about LifePoint Church, you can head to any of our social media platforms or head over to our website and leave us a message or a comment, and we'll get back with you as soon as possible. If you want more information about what it means or what it takes to have a connected relationship with Jesus, go ahead and leave a comment, and someone from our team will get back with you today. Also, if you want to continue to worship with your tithes and your offerings, or if you just want to give to LifePoint Church, head on over to our website. It's lpc502.com. In the top right-hand corner is an online giving button. You click it, and it takes you to a safe and secure place where you can give. However you choose to give, we're just thankful that you're on mission and that you're wanting to give back just a portion of what it is that God has blessed you with so that we can then continue to go take the gospel to the ends of the earth and love on as many people here in Louisville as we possibly can. Again, I love you guys. Thank you so much for being here. And we'll see you next week as we continue on with our message series, All the Lies. Love you, and we'll see you throughout the week.